this is Susie Larson. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast of Live the Promise. You know, shows like this are made possible because of your continued support of Faith Radio. To learn more, please check out our website at myfaithradio.com.
Mighty defender, you are invincible. My strong tower, you are unshakable.
Song. That's Ren Collective, Strength of My Heart. Great song. And one line in that song is, your love keeps holding on. He's holding on to you. So glad you tuned in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. I spent my first half hour of today's show talking to Kelly Minter, and she's one of the upcoming speakers at the Set Apart Conference. Now we've got our good friend Jimmy Page back on to talk about faith and fitness. Since this is our kickoff day of Commit to Live Fit, and if you don't know what I'm talking about, I'll unpack that in just a moment, but I don't want to waste another minute. Let me tell you about Jimmy. We'll get him on the show. Jimmy Page serves as Vice President of Field Ministry and the National Director of the Health and Fitness Ministry for Fellowship of Christian Athletes. He's a frequent speaker and trainer for corporate and nonprofit organizations. He and his wife, Ivalice, live in Maryland with their four children, Jimmy, Jacob, John, and Gracie. And you can find his influencer page on our website at myfaithradio.com. Jimmy, welcome back to the program.
Great to be here.
I've lost count of how many times you've been on the show, so isn't that great?
I love it. Every time it's dynamic. It is,
and it's always different. Appreciate you so much. So I know we both share an equal passion for the Lord and for just health, because our bodies are the temple. And so we've been doing this thing now. I think this is our third time doing this Faith and Fitness Challenge. And last year and this year, we're lining it up with Lent. So there's this 40-day challenge. So each week, the people who sign up get an email that talk about a physical and a spiritual discipline. And so if you're listening right now and you've not signed up yet, you can do so for free at our website, myfaithradio.com. You won't get this week's email, but you'll get next week's on Monday. So we're going to talk a little bit, first of all, Jimmy, just about the two disciplines, up your water intake this week and then up your word intake. But before we do that, wondering if there's just a verse that you can share, if there's something God's been putting on your heart that you can share with us these days.
Well, I think that the verse that hits those topics pretty much dead on is in John chapter 7, verses 37, 38, and 39. I'll start in the second half of 37. If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him.
Wow.
By this he meant the Spirit whom those who believed in him were later to receive. And up to that point, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. I love that verse about, hey, whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. Jesus is pretty pointed in this little verse.
Mm-hmm. And you think about what that means. It really means we become a source of nourishment for many in life, and even cleansing. I think as we walk in step with the Lord and we do the things he says and we follow his lead, when people encounter us, they encounter something of God, don't they? I mean, really, when you feel like you're walking in the truth and your own soul is renewed, people leave you oftentimes nourished themselves.
Absolutely. They should feel refreshed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you encounter a child of God who is walking with God, who is in the Word, who is, you know, faith-filled, you should leave that conversation, generally speaking, refreshed. And that's what that water, that image of living water, really leaves in my heart.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. And so let's talk about just the benefits of hydration. I mean, just pure and simple, drinking water every day. Talk about some of the benefits of drinking enough water.
Absolutely. Well, most people don't realize, but the human body is actually made up of almost 70% water. So your brain is 80% water. Your muscles are 75% water. And overall, your body is 70%. So when you talk about getting enough water, you're talking about the very fuel for your body to perform at its best. So we can only live without water for 4 days on at the most. And so the benefits initially are that everything just works better when you are properly hydrated. And, you know, there's going to be a lot of listeners today probably that have at one point or another wanted to lose weight and have found that frustrating. And hydration, being properly hydrated, is probably the number one thing you can do to assist with weight loss. It just gets easier to burn fat. It regulates your hormones and it boosts your metabolism. But most people don't think of water that way.
Exactly. In fact, I've said this before, but my hubby, I just said, implement one discipline at a time, because otherwise we do too much too soon and we fall off the wagon. But I just said, try this, you know, 8 to 10 glasses of water a day. Just do that and see what happens. And Jimmy, in a month, he lost 10 pounds from changing nothing else.
Unbelievable.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it makes your hair shine. It helps you digest food and absorb nutrients. It's just so good for you. And on the flip side, though, we lose our taste for water. And I'm going to make some soda makers mad at me, maybe, but when you drink too much soda, you lose your taste for water. And I've learned, and you can maybe correct this if I'm wrong about this, but it's even harder to lose weight by when you drink a lot of diet soda, even than the sugar. I mean, the sugar is plentiful in normal soda, but diet soda makes it really tricky to lose weight as well. Talk about just that, how we lose our taste for the things that are good for us when we feed on things that sort of get us through the moment.
Yeah, most of us are addicted to products with a lot of sugar. And that sugar dulls your sense for enjoyment for something like water. So when I tell most people to, hey, you got to increase your water intake, and here's all the benefits, not only weight loss, but improves your digestion and your immune system. Hey, you don't want to get sick, drink water. And they start to drink it, and they go, I just don't like water. Well, part of that is because we have grown so accustomed to and addicted to a sugary sensation when we drink, that we reject anything that doesn't have it. So, you know, and it speaks to the other issue there of the diet sodas trick your body into thinking that it's getting sugar because it has that sweetness, but your body's not actually receiving the sugar, so it calls actually for more sugar. So you think you're doing the right thing drinking that soda, that diet soda, because you're not getting the sugar. But the very opposite effect is happening, because your body will then go eat and drink more foods with sugar in it, and consequently you'll gain more weight.
Mm-hmm. And another side note, just remember that maybe you don't know this, and I'm not talking to you, Jimmy, you know this, but I'm listening today, that sugar, it goes hand in hand with inflammation. So if you've got old injuries, if you've got joint issues, arthritis, it even inflames your vessels, and so important to really be careful on the intake of sugar.
Yeah.
So on the average, what I've heard, Jimmy, and again, correct me if I'm wrong, but probably about half your body weight in ounces. So if you weigh 200 pounds, you should have 100 ounces of water a day. What have you learned?
That's exactly what I recommend. It's the simplest thing for most people to remember. So for a woman who weighs, let's say, 140 pounds, that means they need 70 ounces of water. And if you're getting 70 ounces of water, now that's on average. If you're exercising as well with intensity and you're sweating more, you'll have to add more. But boy, I'll tell you this: if the average person drank half their body weight in ounces, that halfway mark, they would feel so energized. Their immune system would be boosted. Their memory would improve. They would feel like $1 million. And just like your husband experienced, they probably would drop a few pounds as well.
Yeah. And so maybe this is the challenge you need today when you're entering this Lent season. You know, we purposed to have a physical and a spiritual discipline. But maybe if you have a high sugar intake, I just dare you to bring it down, because you might go through a little withdrawal, but you will actually start to get mental clarity back. You will actually feel so much better, and you will lose your taste for sugar. It's really an acquired taste, and when you lose it, it just doesn't appeal as much, does it?
It doesn't. In fact, I'm at the point now, my wife and I are, we eat very clean, organic food. We've cut out almost all the processed sugars. So when we eat something that's highly processed and sugary, it actually doesn't taste good to us anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And the things that God has naturally made sweet, like those fresh organic fruits, the taste just comes to life. So, and you mentioned something, Susie, that's really important. It was inflammation. Inflammation is at the root of all chronic disease, all chronic pain, all chronic disease. Soda is the number one worst thing that you can do for your body for acidity and inflammation. So if you want to get rid of some of those aches and pains and some of that lack of energy, you've got to cut out that processed sugar, and in particular, the soda.
Isn't that amazing? Remember one time I went for a massage, and the massage therapist said, you drink a lot of water, don't you? And I said, well, how do you tell? And she said, I can't tell you. She said, people will come in, their skin will be dry and stiff, their muscles are stiff, everything feels rigid, she said. When a person drinks a lot of water, everything, you can just feel that there's blood flow. There's, you know what I mean? There's like just moisture in your body in a way that it should be. And she said your muscles just move the way they should. And I just don't think we can even understand the impact. And that's why we wanted to start with that discipline. It, you know, and what I was saying, Jimmy, is some people are bracing themselves for this faith and fitness challenges. If I'm going to say, you know, run a half marathon by the end of 6 weeks, but these are super easy disciplines, easy to do, but they're just as easy not to. And that's the thing, is these little tweaks will make a world of difference if you actually do them. Okay. So the spiritual discipline then is to up your intake of God's word. So if you're not someone who reads on a daily basis, start with 10 minutes. But let's just talk about the importance of not only God's word, but a daily intake of it.
Absolutely. You know, I was thinking too, when you were speaking, that if most of us are dehydrated, which we are, we know this to be true, that most people do not get enough water during the day. It's like living with running around on flat tires on your car. If you went out to drive your car and just took half the air out of your tires, that's what it's like living your life dehydrated. The same is true from a spiritual perspective. If you're not filled with the word of God, if you're not putting that in, if you're not letting God pour in his word, his spirit, it's like walking around, you know, driving your car around on flat tires. You lack power, you lack energy, you lack focus, you lack spiritual clarity and wisdom. So we've got to make sure that we start the day with that intake. Just like you would get out of bed and drink that 8 or 10 ounces of water, we need to start our day the same way spiritually by taking in God's word first thing in the morning.
And talk about just even how that has been a plumb line for you, Jimmy, as far as just because you carry a lot, you spin a lot of plates, but I know you're a man that really counts on God's direction and how he speaks to you through his word. Just talk about in practical terms how that's worked for you.
Probably the singular most important benefit for me of spending that time in the word first is it orients my heart, it orients my thinking, it takes my eyes off myself and allows me to look outside of myself and say, hey, if I'm going to walk this out and make a difference in the lives of others, I've got to have a spiritual sensitivity, I've got to have a spiritual discernment, and I've really got to be focused on making others around me better, pointing them back to God in a practical way. So if I'm not filling up, I've got very little to pour out. And with the pace of life, a lot of times, our tendency is to eliminate that front end where you're taking in the word. You know, you missed it. You skip it because I got too much to do. Mm-hmm. The problem is then you don't have much to give either.
Right. And it does firm your resolve to, you know, just this morning during my prayer time, I always just sit back and put on some worship music and just look at the sun coming up and sip on my coffee. Sorry that I love my little morning coffee, but anyway, I just love that time of just kind of getting my heart ready. And I was reading in two different books, 2 Thessalonians and then 2 Timothy, and both were kind of saying a similar thing, Jimmy, about just that we're going to be in a day where people aren't going to want to hear sound teaching. So guard your teaching, but also have nothing to do with needless arguments and debates over certain words because it actually will ruin its hearers. And we're just there right now, and what it did, Jimmy, was just firm my resolve to be a student of the word so I can rightly handle the word of truth. But then I just started to pray for the waywards who've been so deceived by some of the soft teaching, blurring the lines on things that shouldn't be blurred. And I went for it in my prayers and just was asking, Lord, bring these waywards back because we need them. We need them, all hands on deck. And it fueled my resolve to do what I do, but it also just invited me to just pray more earnestly for those who are wayward. I mean, that was a totally unexpected turn when I showed up to pray this morning, but it was on God's heart for me too. And his word is living and active, isn't it?
It sure is. My wife experiences God in the morning the same way you do, you know, where she loves worship music and she experiences God in nature. So God fills her tank that way as well as being in the word. And a lot of times I bother her because I want to have conversation in the morning. So she's like, can you please leave me alone? And I'm like, hey, come on. You know, I want to talk about spiritual things.
I get it.
But on my, you can relate. But you know, on my calendar, my calendar says God first. First thing in the morning, God first. And Charles Stanley many years ago said, hey, before your feet hit the floor, you should engage with God. And I've really taken that to heart. And the days that I do, I'm much more at peace. My external circumstances have far less effect on my internal condition. And that for me is everything because there's a lot of stress and there's a lot of pressure. But I know that when I spend time with God first, then I'm less affected by external pressure.
So good. And just the idea of maybe you're a person who already does spend daily time. Well, if you are in the Faith and Fitness Challenge, the challenge for you is to up your intake. So up your intake of water, up your intake of God's Word. So maybe that means you turn off the TV a little bit earlier and you end the day with a little bit of the Word as well. I mean, there's not really a hard and fast rule. I like, because I am a morning person, I love to start the day with the Lord. But the point is, engage on a deeper level. I mean, are there any like devotionals, study helps, or anything else that you use, Jimmy, when you're reading the Word?
Well, for me, there's several, but I would say that one that has kind of been universally impactful, I found, is Jesus Calling.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus Calling is just such a deep, rich experience. You can do one a day and feel like you've chewed on God's Word, and you've also been encouraged in your spirit in some way. Dan Britton and I, my co-author, we've written a handful of devotions, which, you know, I love to go back to personally, and I know you've written a lot, a lot of great books for that first thing in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
So there's many out there. But the key is just to start.
Indeed.
It's to pick one and start and follow that through for a period of time where it becomes a habit.
And that's a great word. I also love Dr. Warren Wiersbe's commentaries. He's got one on the Old Testament, on the New Testament. I will just tell you, those things read like devotionals. And so I always have those out in my study time just in case I decide to dig a little deeper on a passage. So I want to ask you to talk a little bit about just the benefit of a disciplined life. I know some of us are more wired for it, so it's easy for us to say. I mean, I thrive in my regimen. I just do. That's how, really, I believe how God has made me, but it's something that's sort of been developed over the years as well. But there are people that God's wired to have more of a breezy personality, and they're delightful. But there's something, I've got friends like that who breeze in and breeze out, and they're just the life of the party. In fact, I remember at one time, my friend breezed in an hour late, and she goes, "Oh, am I late?" And I said, "Yeah, an hour." And she said, "Oh, it was, you know, daylight savings time has thrown me off." And I said, "You haven't changed your watch yet?" And she said, "No." And I said, "Daylight savings time was 2 months ago." And you've been functioning how?
Yeah, right.
It's so funny. But the point being, I'm not coming down and putting a should do or an ought to, but even my breezy friends would say they benefit from certain consistency in their life. So I want you just to talk about that power of consistency, even if you're not wired that way.
That's right. I think that it's neat how God has wired us all so differently, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because the world would be far less interesting if we were all right on the money with our time. But I think for me, the question that I find most days is most of us want to start and finish a day and feel like we had a successful, meaningful day, a day of impact. And I have found, I'm not naturally a disciplined person, and a lot of my friends who most would say, "Oh, that's the most disciplined person I've ever known," they would say they're not the most disciplined people, that they've had to actually practice it. So if you're out there and you're thinking, "I'm an undisciplined person," just know there's hope, and if you put a few little strategies together, you can become much more disciplined. But for me, the mantra that I've always said is this: win today. Win today. When I start the day on the right foot, physically with a workout, spiritually by taking in God's word and in prayer, man, I feel like I've already won for the day. I've already had success. And it starts to breathe. The next decision that you make is going to be a positive one. So if I start the day with a 14-ounce glass of water with some lemon in it, and I feel good about my health, and maybe a 7-minute workout, and I spend 15 to 20 minutes in the word, it leads to the next great decision. So now I'm choosing a good option for lunch. Now I'm choosing to walk with God in prayer throughout the day. One thing always leads, like dominoes, to the next. So it's important that you get those wins early and have some success, and it sets you up for a meaningful day.
I'm really glad you said that, because as you're talking, I'm thinking back. My parents would never say I came out of the womb disciplined.
Yeah.
That was, you know, in fact, I remember a grade school teacher telling my mom, "She's kind of klutzy." But the truth of the matter is those things were acquired over time. And maybe they became that way because I started to see the benefits of that. And so I love the idea of win today. How about just even goal setting and having, you know, a vision before you? Like for me, these kinds of events, this Commit to Live Fit, I think there's just times to engage on a deeper level, because there has to be some ebb to our flow, you know what I mean? And so I don't know, I think there's a power and a momentum when there's a push, and then you pull back a little bit. And so I love these kinds of things because they call you to dig a little bit deeper. But how about you when you've got something before you like that?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's funny you mentioned the word momentum. That actually happens to be my one word for the year.
Oh, wow.
It's momentum. Funny,
all right.
Different topic, right?
Mm-hmm.
But for me, that focus, you know, the ability to focus in and really pay attention, because most often I think we live haphazardly, and you might go months and months and not work out and maybe make some poor choices. And what God's saying is, no, I really want you to be mindful. I want you to focus in on this. I want you to be a little bit more serious about making progress towards my best. You know, momentum is simply movement either toward or away from God's best for you. And so for me, the question every day now is, am I taking the steps necessary to move toward God's best, or are the decisions I'm making taking me further away from Him? The same thing applies with discipline. Every day, the decisions I'm making, am I choosing what I need most, or am I choosing what I want now? Mm-hmm. And the more I can say I'm choosing what I need most, that leads me on a pathway of success.
Love that. And I'm thinking as you're talking, Jimmy, of, I think it's Hebrews 12, but let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles and run the race marked before us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame. I love that passage. But I want you just to unpack, if you would. We've just got a few minutes left together, but throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Because there's certain, another translation says, the things that slow us down or weigh us down. How do you make the distinction between those two?
It's important. This is a big topic because, you know, there's other verses in 2 Corinthians 7. Says purify yourself from everything that contaminates both body and spirit. This idea of fixing your eyes on Jesus gives you incredible focus. But that idea of throwing aside those things that trip you up, you know, we're talking about freedom. This is about freedom. This is not about legalism. This is about us saying, hey, I don't want anything in my way that's preventing me from experiencing God personally and from being my best for him. So this is about putting your past behind you. It's why I say win today, because you know what? It's very difficult to get through one day where you say, man, I did it all right. I did it perfect today. Lord, I was on, you know. You're going to make mistakes. But the more we focus in on our mistakes, you know, and the less we focus in on God's potential. So I want to think more, hey, look how far I've come, rather than look how far I have to still go.
Mm.
And we've got to learn to celebrate. We've got to learn to say, hey, I'm letting the past go. I'm putting the past behind me, and I'm going to walk in freedom, knowing that now, walking in freedom, I can make better decisions.
Mm, such a good word. Well, we're going to get ready here to pray, and I'm wondering if you would do that for those. This might be a big step for some who are just stepping up and going, okay, I'm engaging in a way that just, it's foreign to me. Wondering if you would just pray for those listening today who are doing the Faith and Fitness Challenge, and that there would be a grace abounding in them as they do that.
Mm, absolutely. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for these moments today. We thank you for your word, that it is like living water flowing in us, Lord. And you say that your word is active and alive. And Lord, we trust you that as we embark on this challenge to be healthy, body, mind, and spirit, that you would give us just one thing to focus on that could make a big difference. Help us not to be discouraged by the magnitude of the change that we want to have, but instead look and say, let's take that small step today. Let's experience your power, your presence, and help us to have success today as we pursue better health, mind, body, and spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Jimmy, you're a good friend of the program, and you're going to hear more from Jimmy in the weeks to come on Commit to Live Fit, this journey. And we just thank you for doing it with us, Jimmy. Thank you so much.
You got it. Thank you.
We're going to hear a portion of Ren Collective, Strength of My Heart, just to encourage you. He's the strength of your heart. He's holding you. Listen in.
My strong tower, you are unshakable. Mighty Savior, your love's unbreakable.
News. Hour two is up next. We'll hear my conversation with my friend Jackson Dunn of Focus on the Family. He has got a gripping story and some great things to say about why marriage and family matter. Don't go away. Hour two is up next.